I'll be sharing this morning the words of Dr. Tom Rayner. We appreciate the opportunity for him to write a little small booklet called I Am a Church Member. And we've been walking through that. We took a break for our Youth Sunday last week. We had three sessions before, and we'll have three to finish up our time in this series. It is a reminder for us that we're not talking about being a member of the Philippi Baptist Church necessarily. We're talking about being either a foot or a toe or an elbow or an ear. Jesus talks in terms of we are the body of Christ. And as members of that body, we have a plan and a purpose. So, may we hear his words today. It's Thursday morning. Pastor Mike has a clear calendar, an aberration in his normal busy schedule. Actually, the calendar is not really clear. He set aside time to finish his sermon for Sunday. His Bible is open. Study aids are nearby. He begins to study. Then the phone rings. His assistant tells him about a car accident involving a family in the church. The ambulances are already on the way to the hospital. Mike leaves all his study material on his desk and jumps into the car. On the way to the hospital, his assistant calls him again. The entire Godspeed family of five were in the car. None are seriously hurt except Gary, the father and husband of the family. His condition is grave. Pastor Mike walks into the emergency room. The family has just been told that their husband and father did not make it. They see their pastor and run to him sobbing in total shock. Mike is there for them. He stays with the entire family for 3 hours until he is certain enough people are around to care for them. He stops by his home to see his wife and grab a quick sandwich. It's now afternoon. He's not sure if he can return to his sermon preparation, but he knows he must. He must fight the emotional exhaustion of the morning and finish the message. But as he walks back to the church, his assistant apologetically tells him that two people need to speak with him. They consider it urgent. Mike meets with the two men. One of them is the worship leader of the church. He's struggling with his ministry and is considering giving up. For 2 hours, Mike listens, consoles, and attempts to encourage the staff member. The next visitor then catches Mike off guard. George is one of the key leaders in the church. Mike considers him a friend, an incredibly vital person in the overall leadership of the congregation. George struggles to speak. My wife is having an affair. There are no more words for 5 minutes, just tears and sobs. Mike stays with George for over 2 hours. They pray together and talk about next steps. It's nearly 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Mike is too drained to attempt to get back to his sermon. Instead, he begins to look at his crowded email inbox. He cringes when he sees one of the senders of an email, but he cannot stop himself from opening the message. It's from one of Mike's most frequent critics in the church. This person has two complaints. The first irritation was something he said in last Sunday's sermon. The second complaint addressed Mike's failure to visit the sister-in-law who had minor outpatient surgery yesterday. The woman is not a member of the church, and Mike knew nothing about the surgery. Pastor Mike shuts the laptop cover and moves to his car slowly. He'll stop by the house to grab a quick bite to eat, then he needs to check on the Godspeed family. He'll stay with them for a while, but he must leave prior to 7:30 when he's to give the invocation for a local high school basketball game. Several people corner him at the game so he doesn't get home until after 9 o'clock. He goes to his small study in his house, shuts the door, and begins to cry. Gary Godspeed, the father and husband who was killed in the car accident, was Mike's best friend. This was the first chance Mike had to grieve all day long. Dr. Rayner says all he did was change the names to protect the innocent, but he said time and time again, you will see scenarios lived out in the life of your church staff. So as we look today at what it means to be a church member, can we take the opportunity to pray for the pastor and the other church leaders that are connected with where you are worshiping? All church leaders need prayer. We'll use the word pastor, but that can mean minister or elder or director or whatever term you use in the place in which you worship. It may refer to the senior leader, or it could be about someone else on staff. The point is that we church members must pray for our church leaders. The previous story is true. All Dr. Rayner did, in fact, was switch the names around. The day of a pastor is filled with mountaintops and valleys. It is adulated by some, and it is torn down by others. Pastoral leadership needs our prayers. I am certainly in need of your prayers for my sermons. I was waiting for an amen. We should pray that God would give the wisdom, the insight, the words and facts to use. It is an overwhelming task to stand before you every week to speak and to preach the Word of God. We were at a breakfast gathering for men, and the pastor said, the ratio is that one out of four sermons just don't hit the mark. And one of his members said, well, we're in for a long drought then, because I haven't heard it yet. There are some that seem to hit, and there are some in which we pray God has far better ways for it to communicate than it comes out. Not only do you pray for the pastor and the other church leaders, but you also pray for them and their families. One of the most convicting and challenging verses for pastors is that verse that I started our service with today. If anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of God's church? There have been many sleepless nights in pastors' homes, struggling in that capacity. We worry that we neglect our families because of the demands of the church. We worry about our families because they, in fact, live in a glass house. And we anguish when critics direct their comments toward our families. But we are church members. We must be the prayer intercessors for pastors and their families. Few families face the kinds of pressures and expectations as the families of pastors. How many preacher's kids do we have in the congregation right now? Judd, Rachel, Allison, Drew, Gary is a preacher's kid. Caleb, are you a preacher's kid? Yeah. Any others? Stephanie? All right. It's an interesting world sometimes. So what do we need to direct our prayers for? We need to pray for their protection. The Bible speaks of the qualifications for pastor or overseer or elder. These words are not exhaustive. There are other passages regarding qualifications, but out of that 1 Timothy 3 passage, it certainly speaks an overseer, elder, therefore must be above reproach. Married to one person at a time, really, is the reason for that particular translation. It really makes it hard if we have two women and we're trying to serve the church at the same time. It just doesn't seem to work very well at all. Must be married to one person at a time, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, an able teacher, not addicted to wine, not a bully, just don't ask Allison, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not greedy, one who manages his own household competently, having his children under control with all dignity. Now, I'm telling you what, that's quite a list. Even for us just to get past the above reproach part is an accomplishment. The word reproach means to find fault. So to be above reproach means to be above finding fault. Well, the pastor is certainly not expected to be perfect. The pastor is to have a reputation above most everyone else. When people in the community speak or think about the pastor, the thoughts and words should be positive and encouraging. That's quite an expectation to hold. On top of that, the pastor must maintain good self-control. The pastor must be sensible, respectful, hospitable, must be a good teacher, must be gentle, not argumentative. He must not be greedy. And to add just a little more pressure, his family must reflect a healthy Christian life as well. Can we see why we as church members must in fact lift up our pastoral staff at all times? In the list of the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy 3, the seventh verse puts it all into perspective. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation among outsiders so that he does not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. The outsider in the verses refer to the unbelievers who are not part of the church. In that context, the verse mentions the devil's trap. Let's not move past those words too quickly. The devil, we hope, is obvious. He is literally the chief among all demons. He is real. He is powerful. But in a rare sense of the word, the verse speaks of the devil's trap. If we understand the full implications of that word, we wouldn't hesitate to pray for our pastor's protection. A trap is something that is set intentionally. It means that the devil has devised a plan to bring the pastor down. He has set a trap. It means that the devil sees the pastor as a threat, and one of his highest priorities is to take him down and take him out. And the text is clear. The nature of this trap will be temptation, where the pastor's reputation will be harmed. We should not be surprised then when we hear about a pastor's moral failure. We are grieved and heartbroken, but not surprised. The devil is setting traps for pastors. Anything he can do to bring harm to the pastor's reputation. He will stop at nothing, greed, adultery, anger, addiction, to catch the pastor in the devil's trap. The devil is powerful, but God is so much more powerful. And God, in ways we don't always understand fully, works through the prayers of believers. We are church members. We will pray for the protection of our pastor and other church leaders. We will do all we can through prayer to keep our pastor out of the devil's trap. So we pray for the pastor and other church leaders. We pray for them and their families. We pray for their protection, but we also pray for their physical and mental health. Serving and leading a church well extends all of a pastor's energy. He's on call every day, every hour, because the demands are so great. The pastor often neglects his own health and well-being. While no one is invulnerable to sickness and accidents, we can pray for the protection of our pastor's health. We should also pray for our pastor's mental health. Can I get an amen on that one? We should pray for the pastor's mental health. In this regard, I'm not referring to the opposite of mental sickness, as I am more to this idea of a wisdom of health. The pastor has to make dozens of decisions each week that require discernment and wisdom. He needs wisdom to know what to preach and teach and how to present God's word. He needs wisdom dealing with church members each week so he can best discern how to respond to the plethora of demands set within his road. We who are church members should pray for the health of our pastor. There will be stress and pressure every day. We can pray that he will experience the peace that only God can give. So, on cue, as Macy and Rachel have already been prompted, we have the opportunity for another pledge. It's a pledge in which requires discipline, but not necessarily a whole lot of time. It's something that many of you have been doing far longer than your current pastor has been a part of this congregation. But the request today is that you would pray 5 minutes a day for your pastoral staff. Dr. Judd Bracey is in his 25th year as leading 26 years, leading our choir so faithfully. We're appreciative of Eddie Poling stepping forward just in the last 2 years as our youth director. We're so thankful for Michelle and Marge as they continue to offer their leadership in ministry as they give of their talents and their time and their energy. We praise the Lord for Caleb and all those folks he ropes in to share this praise and worship with us. Lift up Lucretia Moyer in your prayers. From 9 to 1, Monday through Friday, she sits at our office desk, not only for a paycheck, but for the opportunity to be connected to the kingdom of God, even here at this church. We're so thankful of her own church home at the Nazarene Church, but how every day she looks at what she does as a ministry, as an extension of what she can do for the kingdom of God as well. As church members, we must be willing to pray for the leaders in our church. Without our ongoing intercessory prayer, our churches will not be healthy. 5 minutes a day, you're welcome to pray longer if you like. Dr. Rainer says that there was one individual, Francis Mason. He prayed for him an hour a day when Dr. Rainer was starting his very first church. 5 minutes will be just fine. Can we commit to pray 5 minutes every day for the leaders that God has placed in our path? There are questions on the back. If you'll just take one of those questions a day, Monday through Friday, great opportunity for you just to continue to think in terms of why it is, in fact, that we are commissioned to be prayer warriors. We pray for the pastor and other church leaders. We pray for them and their families. We pray for their protection, and we pray for their physical and mental health. And we get to pray together as we sit at the Lord's table today. Jesus spent very precious moments in the garden, even after he sat at the supper table with his disciples. It says he prayed, and it was as if sweat, like great drops of blood, were coming out of him because of the heartfelt anguish as he spoke to his heavenly Father. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We get to sit at his table this morning. We get to remember what he did for us, what he is still doing for us as I mentioned in the opening prayer, as He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. May we do that even at this time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, as we prepare to sit at Your table, we thank You, Lord, that we can be about our Father's business. This business of being in prayer, of talking with You first and foremost, of sharing those concerns that we see and that we bring them to You. Our communication with You is our life link. And Lord, may we have that opportunity even as we sit at Your table today. Amen.